You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two underway here at the Roto Experts in the Morning. King Scott Angle, Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Tony Cicada, myself, Greg Sussman, chilling Friday, which is cool. What's up?
Oh boy, Friday. It was a quick week. It was MLK Day was on Monday, so yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad you had a 4-day week.
Yes, sorry.
It wasn't quick for all of us.
Oh, for real? You didn't feel like the week went by pretty quickly?
Not particularly. I'm excited for it to be the weekend now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I pulled out a little for the homie, Barack Obama, you know what I'm saying, his last night. So sure. I gave a little tip. Poured out a little, you know what I'm saying?
You know, he was on the, I listened to a podcast twice a week. He was on the podcast this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Pod Save America, formerly known as Keeping It 1600.
Oh, they don't call it Keeping It 1600
They actually left The Ringer. They made their own media company because they felt like they needed to do more.
Yeah.
So they started a media company called Crooked Media.
They should give me and you a show, Greg, called Liberal Media.
Well, on the Crooked Media podcast, on the Crooked Media company,
or well, on we should do it right here.
No, we can't be liberal. We can't be the fake liberal media.
Why not?
I don't know. There's a lot of people listening to this channel. You know, they don't want to come to us for that information.
No, I'm just saying. You know,
we're conservatives on this channel. Very conservative.
Yes.
Have you listened to Out of Bounds?
All right, Tony, before we went to break, Scotty threw a point guard at you. I threw a couple at you. I wanted to get your thoughts here, and we can go through the rest of the positions at a nice pace before we get some other stuff. So, Scotty, you asked Tony about Michael Carter-Williams.
Yeah, he's a salary saver.
Yeah, Michael Carter-Williams, 4,400, 4,700. The problem here, he's not a bad play. The problem is that's the second lowest team total of the night. So they're only expected to score 98 points. Not going to be a lot of offense there. So capping his upside there in that game.
All right, so that was Scotty's question. Next? Mine was Elfrid Payton, perhaps without Jody Meeks and Evan Fournier and TJ McConnell.
I like that one.
So I actually talked about on DFS today that I would like, knowing if Evan Fournier doesn't play in this game, I would
Augustine?
Like the two guard, whoever takes DJ August because of the salary. Whoever's going to be in it is going to be a $3,000 player, so I'd go there.
Right.
I don't think Alfred Payton's a bad play,
okay.
But they're fourth best against the league in point guards there. So
okay.
a little bit of a touch matchup. They have the third lowest point total of the night.
Okay.
103 is the okay. third lowest of the night.
So that's Payton. What about TJ McConnell against Portland?
Now, I like TJ McConnell. He's a guy you can actually use for some salary cap relief with the guys that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
He is definitely a guy I got to fit in. I like a couple of definitely Philadelphia 76ers tonight. I think Joel Embiid's one of the top players on the board.
All right, so let's just skip there then. Let's skip all the way down to center then.
Yeah, let's go to the center, the big man.
The big man. We'll go from the small guy to the big man. You
the
like
man
Joel Embiid, who's $8,400 on FanDuel. You like Joel Embiid tonight.
Yeah, he is a guy that it's a great matchup on paper, right? They're the seventh worst against centers. He's playing all the minutes there. He's going to put up 40-plus points. You can put him up at 8,400 tonight. If you wanted to save a little money, Jonas Valanciunas tonight, mm-hmm. $5,700 in the matchup for the Raptors comes into play. Now, they did bring Jaren Selinger back. He came back for his first game. I think he's going to get some playing time, and now we'll probably see Valanciunas drop to probably a maximum of around 30 minutes per game. So that gives me a little hesitance when I'm looking at upside for Jonas Valanciunas going forward. So I'm not totally in on that one. If you want to save some money, that's not a guy I'll be using. Miles Turner mm-hmm. against the Lakers tonight
yep.
is a good play at $6,900.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that you'll be jumping in on there. So for me, it Embiid. I'll probably be using a lot of Miles Turner tonight,
yep,
and
yep.
I'll throw this out there. It's the best matchup on the ballot board. I will not use it. I don't know if he's playing, but Anthony Davis has the best matchup on paper.
Yeah.
He has $11,400 salary at DraftKings, $11,900. The guy has not made it out of his last two games, playing the entire game. Before that, we have a track record of up and down, in and out of lineups. I don't know if he's playing. He's playing the Brooklyn Nets. They can't cover him. He didn't play last time they were supposed to play the Brooklyn Nets. He has the best matchup on paper, and I'm going to bypass it.
I will not be taking it.
He hurt his hand the other night. On the other side of that, Brook Lopez is 6,800, but do you veer away from it because he's not going to get enough boards?
You can never consider this guy out. He's just too talented, and that's a game that's going to have a good pace to it. So you can never sit him out. I lean a little towards the Indiana side when they have the same salary, right? So I have Miles Turner ahead of Brook Lopez tonight. So that's the difference for me, why I didn't jump on
Brook
Lopez.
So there you go. You mentioned Anthony Davis. He's a power forward on FanDuel. What power forwards do you like tonight, Tony?
The power forward position tonight is a whole different story. Jermaine Green is the guy tonight against the Houston Rockets in an up-and-down game with the pace. His salary is $8,200 on FanDuel, attractive. DraftKings, $7,900. I'll tell you the truth. I'm probably not going to use anyone else. He's probably going to be the only guy that's going to be in all of my lineups. Now, if you want to save a little money, you didn't have that. Ersan Ilyasova playing very well in Philadelphia. It's tough to use all these Sixers, right? You say the team that's not that great, how many Sixers can I use? But he has a great matchup in tonight's contest as well. So that saves you a little cash there if you don't go Jermaine Green. And Thaddeus Young against the Lakers. Thaddeus Young is the biggest hit or miss in basketball. It's a great matchup. The Lakers are dead last against power forwards. He's another guy, only 5,500 on DraftKings and 5,400 on.
As Tony just said, the biggest hit or miss in basketball, his last four games, 23.3 FanDuel points, 35.6, 12.8, 39.8. Completely hit or miss, Corey.
I was looking at him as like a tournament play.
What about Paul George tonight, Tone?
Paul George. Now, I met in the DFS show. I said, hey, I love Kevin Durant tonight, and if I could try to get into my lineups a little Jermaine Green and Kevin Durant and somehow get James Harden, use those three guys and go cheap there, that's the way to go about it. But if you can't get Kevin Durant in there, then dropping down to Paul George is the way to go. $7,400 on FanDuel, $7,800 on DraftKings comes into play there. I like Aaron Gordon in that Oklahoma game. I mean, the Orlando game that you talked about there with without the injuries, with the injuries in that contest, he's going to have to score in that contest. I like him a lot in there, playing a team that's second worst at covering small forwards, power forwards in that one. Him and Nikolai Vukovic, I think, are safe plays in that options.
Is Terrence Jones too overpriced on DraftKings at 6,200 coming off the bench against the Nets?
Terrence Jones. Anthony Davis doesn't play.
Aaron Davis.
AD.
If he doesn't play, he's a play. If he does, he's not a play.
You can't play when Anthony Davis is playing, unfortunately, because Alvin Gentry doesn't let us, essentially. If we want to go see all the guys you named, these guys are putting me in line at Miles Turner, Draymond Green, Aaron Gordon, Paul George. But in order to do this, I got to go really cheap. And that gets me into the shooting guard position alongside James Harden. And I'm basically counting on the fact that Damari Carroll hurt his neck in his last game. And the Raptors, I assume, are going to be cautious with the neck. Whenever Damari Carroll doesn't play, that leads Norman Powell to start. Norman Powell is a minimum price tonight. I think he could be the cheap play of the day for you.
He could be in TJ Augustine, right? So you have two opportunities there. Fournier doesn't play, I think, to get guys on the cheap. And Augustine's a guy that's a shooter, so you'll know early and often if he's going to put up there. And another guy that's cheap but not a great matchup, and he's not as cheap as those two, is Kent Bazemore starting to pick up the game against the Chicago team. He won't get Jimmy Butler on him. He has a 13-point game, but then he has a 31, a 29, and a 21 there. He's a guy that a little more expensive there and not a great matchup, but he's underpriced at $4,500. He should be a $6,000 or $7,000 player when things are going right that you can play on. And the other guy that you could look at cheap is Glenn Robinson, right? Glenn Robinson, it's all about getting enough playing time.
Sure.
In that matchup against the Lakers, they're going to go up and down the court. It's not guaranteed that he's going to play enough minutes to get you there, but if you're going to take a risk tonight, he's a guy you could take a risk at, too, as well.
You mentioned Aaron Gordon, that you're thinking of using him, Greg. How much does he scare you, though, if you're playing in a cash game and all the inconsistency?
Well, that's what I'm, yeah, so yeah. I am considering playing in a cash game. And I'm basically counting on the fact that without Evan Fournier, who's a major scorer, without potentially Jody Meeks, they're going to rely on Aaron Gordon. In his last game, he did have 30 FanDuel points, of course, 14 the game before that, 30 the game before that, 18, 30 the game before that. So the inconsistency is there. I just have to hope I have Aaron Gordon on the right night. I think that, as Tony mentioned, they're very good against the point guard, or Milwaukee, so I don't know where Giannis will be, who he will guard. Am I nervous? Yes. I think the price is right, though, at $5,000. I think it's a fair price for him.
There's two other shooting guards that I got to mention. Klay Thompson has a great matchup tonight. Like I said, James Harden's probably going to be covering Klay Thompson. So that's going to give him every opportunity to just hoist up shots. Harden gets lost on defense a lot. He's going to be in a good matchup. And this guy's playing time is not guaranteed. And he is in a crowded backcourt. But Buddy Hield's got a great matchup. Yep. His price is $3,400. Yep. Alvin Gentry, I can't predict what the hell this guy's going to do. I wouldn't take a chance on him, but it wouldn't shock me if at the end of the night someone with a winning team in the tournament had Buddy Hield on it.
No, what about Tyreke Evans for $5,800 on DraftKings against the Nets, Tony?
It's too much salary. It's too much salary for a guy playing 20, 22 minutes. And he plays great. I mean, he's a fantasy point per minute guy. But I just can't. It was all right when he was 3,900. He was 4,100. Now he's up to 5,900. There's no way I can play that.
You know, when I watched the Nets recently, you know who's been playing well, but I don't know whatever kind of fantasy basketball value he's going to have. I was very impressed by Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert.
I wonder what you guys thought of him.
The former point guard from Michigan.
Yeah. 19 points the other night. Yeah. Really drives to the hoop very strong.
Kenny Atkinson, I believe, said after the game, like, listen, I want to bring him along slow, but he's earning more playing time each and every game. LeVert's good. I think he's going to be a good player in the NBA. He was good in college. He was just, can he stay healthy? He was never healthy at Michigan. Had some injury issues earlier this season with Brooklyn. If he stay healthy, he's good.
I don't know how they don't give him more opportunity. Yeah, how they don't give him more opportunity because they got nothing on this team. Yeah. And just from one game to the next, there's no consistency. But he's worthy of a play.
Yeah, it's like watching the game the other night and the bench is scoring all the points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hollis Jefferson, you know, plays well at times.
I'll tell you one guy I'll never play in daily fantasy, Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
Yeah.
Just for the record, because we played him at...
No, forget about it. He's all over the place.
Yeah, for the first like week of the season or 2 weeks, like I played him every day, and he was the worst freaking player ever. So he's on the permanent ban list for me, Rondé Hollis Jefferson.
That's tough right there.
Yeah. One guy I won't play tonight that has a good matchup and could go off, but because of the playing time, I'm not playing him, is Greg Monroe. Mm-hmm. Orlando doesn't defend big guys well, but if you look at it, he's back to the low 20 minutes of the last couple games, which concerns me, and I don't know why, because he's been playing great. He's got a 7-point fantasy game, a 23 and a 13 his last three. But it wasn't January 8th. He was on a 5-streak run, 5 out of 6 games of 35-plus points. Like, what the hell happened here?
What do you guys think of Eric Gordon for $5,600 against the Warriors?
I think back to Monroe right quick. I think Monroe is lazy. I think he's one of those players that he gets up for certain specific games. And just the problem is we'll never know when that game is going to be. He has all the talent and the physical tools and a great matchup. I was one of the first players that jumped out at me, Tony, when I was looking at it. But he's a lazy dude. That's what his problem is.
He's not too happy coming off the bench.
He's got
either.
A great matchup tonight. He got a great matchup tonight. He's got the talent to just dominate this game, but you can't play him because I just don't know how much. If he got 28 minutes of play at $5,500, he'd be a great play. And he can get 28 minutes. We've seen it, but we haven't seen it in the last three games.
What do you think of Eric Gordon tonight, Tony? $5,600 on DraftKings.
He's a jump shooting 3-point artist. He's too much of a risk for me. I mean, he could put in 28-30. He plays 30 minutes a game, so he always has an opportunity there. But like a lot of these shooting guards, he's not going to do anything else but score points. So if he hits 7 3-pointers, you're going to have a great day. If he goes 3 for 10 from 3-point land, you're going to be in trouble.
It's a risky tournament play, Gordon, but that is going to be a good basketball game tonight. That West Coast start, that has a West Coast start time?
No, it's 8 o'clock game.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So they're playing in Houston?
They're playing in Houston. Yeah. It'll be a fun game to watch. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. Time to preview Sunday's game. Green Bay, Atlanta first, followed by New England and Pittsburgh. Roto Experts in the Morning previews the conference championships next on the Roto Experts. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, conference championships have arrived.
Oh boy, it's now to the bittersweet end of it, huh?
3:05 Eastern Time on Sunday.
The NFC Championship.
The NFC Championship.
With Roger Goodell in the building.
Roger Goodell in the house for the closing of the Georgia Dome.
The Georgia Dome. Only 25 years old.
25 years old.
Building stadiums way too
and
fast.
It's over. So, with that being said, oh my God, I was wrong. Wow.
You were wrong about what?
Who the Super Bowl referee was going to be.
Oh, they announced already?
They announced it.
Who are they?
So, the conference championship referees this weekend are Bill Vidovich and Terry McCauley.
Okay.
Vidovich, I believe, refereed the Super Bowl last year. McCauley was one of the favorites to do it this year.
I was going to say McCauley's going to do it this year, right?
No, no, no. So McCauley's in the conference championship. So I assumed that this year the Super Bowl referee would be my man Gino.
Yeah.
Gino Steratore. Gene Steratore.
Yeah.
Big Ten referee Gene Steratore. But instead,
Big Ten is crazy.
It will be Carl Cheffers.
Okay.
You like Carl Cheffers?
I don't have a beef with him.
All right. All right, he's refereeing the Super Bowl. But he will not be in Green Bay this week, unlike Roger, or not in Atlanta this week, like Roger Goodell. We got Green Bay, we got Atlanta. Let's do it, baby. What are you seeing, Corey?
Oh, boy, I tell you what, this is... I didn't know that.
Bill Vidovich, NFC Championship game, Terry McCauley, AFC.
So, you're talking about the game or the referees?
What do you think about the game? I'm reading about referees now.
Oh, the referee. I don't have a problem with either referee. I think that you get.
You can talk about the game. I'm talking about the referees. You can talk about the game, please.
All right. So I talk about the football game. What's going on in between the lines? There you go. You got the two best offenses in the NFL. Well, two of the three best offenses in the NFL. Really, you got four good offenses playing this week. But you have the Atlanta Falcons with the best offense in the NFL. A home game versus Green Bay. Listen, it's going to be a lot of scoring in the competition, gentlemen. I personally think that Atlanta's ability to run the football is the difference in this game. I understand Aaron Rodgers is on a tier like no other player right now, but Matt Ryan is not playing that bad either. Matter of fact, Matt Ryan would be my DFS quarterback this week. Now, with that being said, fellas, I know Rodgers is on the streak and everything, but I think the Falcons' ability to run the football and to be dominant in their passing game, I think is a difference in this contest where I give the Atlanta Falcons the slight edge.
You know, from the Green Bay perspective, it's interesting because, as I was saying in the news update, Mike McCarthy has said that, you know, three of his top receivers, Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and Geronimo Allison, would not play if this was a regular season game. So there's going to be extra pressure on other guys to come up. You wonder how much more gives to Ty Montgomery. You know, they want to balance the offense more out with the injuries of wide receiver a bit. Montgomery has four rushing touchdowns in his past three games on the road. And then you look at Randall Cobb, you know, he has five touchdown catches in his past five postseason games. You know, they need him to come up big. And, you know, Jeff Janis is going to be a very, very interesting guy to watch this week as well. We've seen him come through in the postseason before.
Tony?
This game, from a fantasy perspective, is tough because I'm going Matt Ryan as well. And a reason being because of those injuries with the Green Bay situation. I don't care how great Aaron Rodgers is, and he's a guy that probably could overcome it. But you just can't take your two best receivers, take them out of the mix, and put them in play. So Matt Ryan is the guy that I'm going to go with. Well, the way I'm going to tackle this thing is that I'm going to fade Julio Jones in this contest. And I'm going to – Taylor Gabriel has the best matchup on paper of any receiver in both games. I'm going to play him. I'm going to play Mohamed Sanu, and then I'm going to take Devontae Freeman out of the backfield and basically hope that Julio Jones is on the sideline 44% of the game, which he was last week, and try to attack it that way. And then with the depleted Green Bay injury situation, I'm going to play Randall Cobb and I'm going to play Montgomery in that same contest there, and I'll really lock into a game with 61 total by taking the number one player out of the game and try to get it by volume. So every time that Julio Jones doesn't go and put up points on the board, I'm going to get points in that contest.
Interesting what Tony says about the Atlanta receivers. Sanu with his first career postseason touchdown catch last week. When these teams last met, he had 9 receptions for 84 yards. Taylor Gabriel has 5 receiving touchdowns in his last 7 games and scored when these teams last met.
I think if you want to put a dollar on this, I like the over.
Okay.
Because both of these teams play that high pace, and both of these teams tend to hammer over.
It's so high, though.
These teams
scored.
In
week 8, it was Falcons 33, Packers 32.
All right, that's a huge game. It went over by 4 points.
So
here's the way I look at it. If there's 2 field goals kicked in this game, I don't think it can get over 61.
If it's 2 field goals, okay, I see what you're saying with the math. But in 18 games this year, Green Bay is going over 12 times.
But it's never had a 61 total.
In 17 games, Atlanta's going over 15 times. Yeah, this is the biggest line of the year, but I think
biggest line in conference championship history.
Really,
biggest. Yeah. Biggest total. Yeah, total.
I think they can get to it.
I think they can too. It's the
one. I think they can too, but I'm just saying mathematically, I look at it. If there are 2 field goals scored instead of 2 touchdowns,
that puts it.
This ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. So who do you think the money's on, Greg? The public. Atlanta's a 5-point favorite. Who do you think the public – where's the public money at?
I think the public's riding Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because he's so hot.
65% of the money is coming in on the Green Bay Packers.
See?
What's interesting here, though, is looking at the injuries and, you know, these guys being banged up. You know, I'm still surprised if Jordy's going to play. And I said that last year, you know, the Packers without Jordy Nelson, you know, they struggled on offense because they didn't have Devontae Adams – stepping up like he did lit this year. Now they got Devontae Adams injured as well. They got the hot rookie Geronimo Allison. You have to wonder how much it's going to deplete the offense. So Rodgers is playing great, but still, that's why I got to leave Atlanta here.
You think people are going to be drafting this Allison kid in later on in August? Like taking a mid to late round flyer on him because of what he did down the stretch this year? Scotty, and
I could see people taking a later round flyer on him, thinking maybe like he might involve into the third receiver there. What if Cobb gets hurt, etc.? I personally not going to be doing it.
Is Cobb a free agent this year?
I don't think so.
I got to look up his contract.
I got you.
Because if one of those guys are gone,
yeah, then he definitely
will
be.
If one of those guys are gone. Yeah, and I think that's going to be the whole key when you have 3.
The Packers are one of the
not,
few.
He is not. He signed a contract extension last year, Randall Cobb.
Yeah,
so
the Packers
are
one of the few teams where people go and draft that third wide receiver.
I think the wide receivers that's out there this year, like I know we got Terrell Pryor,
Alshon Jeffrey,
but Alshon Jeffrey would more than likely be re-signed.
I still don't think so. But
really, you don't think so?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Pierre Garçon is on the market this year.
Deshaun Jackson,
Alshon
Jeffrey.
Dontrell Inman, Kenny Britt.
Dontrell Inman, huh?
Yeah. Kenny Britt would be a nice piece for somebody.
He's old Dontrell Inman, man. I love my Dontrell.
Yeah, uh-huh. I agree, Greg, but I really think Kenny Britt would be a nice piece
for
somebody.
I think so, too. He's good. He's good.
Anquan Boldin would be out there, too.
You know, I've seen some Washington Kenny Britt rumors.
Washington Kenny Britt? Okay.
D.C. Kenny Britt for D.C.? Okay.
Yeah. I can see it. It makes sense when they lose to
Deshaun Jackson.
Because they could lose Deshaun Jackson and –
and yeah, Pierre Garçon.
Britt fit in there.
So then you got the kid Doxson. He should be, well, hopefully he's can get on the field next year.
And Jameson, boy, Jameson Crowder.
My guy. Mm-hmm. Jordan Reed.
You know what's interesting about Green Bay and Scotty? I've been talking this week, like, Jeff Janis is due for one of these stupid playoff moments like he did last year. Mm-hmm. Jeff Janis is like the sixth wide receiver on this team. Like, this guy sucks, right? It's funny how that community
they always felt like he couldn't grasp the fundamentals despite his talent.
I'm honestly shocked he's still on the team. Like, how many guys were ahead of him and are ahead of him on the depth chart, right? Like, you have Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, Trevor Davis. Those are at least five. If all these guys went down, I have a feeling Ty Montgomery would just catch every pass. So I'll put him again ahead of him, too. That's six. I just named six wide receivers / running backs on this team that are better than Jeff Janis.
Yeah, and in the preseason, he was getting drafted. I saw, like, as soon as, like, the 10th round, they thought he was going to step up. But, you know, now he has to. They just feel like they can't rely on him. Like, he's going to make a great play one series and then make a big blunder the next.
He's literally the sixth or seventh wide
he's
receiver.
He's like Kristen
on the team.
Michael at wide receiver.
It's crazy.
I haven't read this anywhere, but I'm going with common sense. Don't be surprised if Ty Montgomery ends up playing wide receiver in this game.
I agree. I agree with you.
And he's played well out of the backfield. If he has to, he can catch the ball. Then again, experienced wide receiver opposite Devontae Adams or Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb out of the slot. At least one guy that's been out there and played. So it would make sense to me that they did this and they go this route. And they've had shown that they're willing to change things up. So it wouldn't shock me if they go this route. So Christian Michael could end up with a big part in this game.
I totally agree with you.
I like that.
Because
that
they don't
want to
play
here.
Jeff Janis, so they have Ty Montgomery ahead of him on the depth chart. That's six wide receivers ahead of Jeff Janis.
You put him in a tournament lineup, Michael?
If I was playing like five or six different lineups, when I'm not on this two-game slate, I would have to have one in there because I think it's a good hunch play. You get him cheap, then you get to upgrade a wide receiver. And I really think that even if he doesn't play, they don't make this move, he's going to get eight touches in the game, and he could get a goal line carry.
And they also, right, they also play like two tight end set with Jared Cook and Richard Rodgers.
Ah,
like,
don't say that, man.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Corey.
Hey, speaking of tight ends.
You know, Richard Rodgers, that's actually a very good sneaky play this week because, you know, a lot of people, if they are hurting a wide receiver, they will play a lot of two tight ends. And the Richard Rodgers thing
makes
a lot of
sense.
Rodgers
caught a touchdown last week.
Yes,
yeah.
He did. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He certainly did, Richard Rodgers. I was going through this when you started talking about the free agent wide receivers. I started looking through free agency, and I see where the Dolphins, Deion Sims, and what's the other Jordan Cameron, are both tight ends. Are both free unrestricted free agents. Which one would you bring back?
Probably Deion Sims.
100%.
Yep, Deion Sims.
100% Deion Sims.
That's crazy. The mighty affording with Cameron. Is Cameron even going to be able to play anymore?
I don't think so.
You think it's over, right? Mm-hmm.
Julius Thomas is getting cut by the Jaguars.
Yeah. I would be looking if I was the Dolphins.
You would go out there?
I think with a guy like Tannehill, you want to have a dependable tight end.
My man Jack Doyle is unrestricted free agent this year. There you go, that route.
I really like O.J. Howard. I think O.J. Howard is going to be awesome in the NFL from Alabama.
Okay.
Oh, I do too.
So that's where
he's
I would
a
go.
Monster.
Yeah, he's a monster.
A
monster.
Very good. Very
All right,
good.
On the Atlanta side of things here this Sunday for the Falcons, Julio Jones banged up with that toe injury. He's going to play. Scotty mentioned Mohamed Sanu a little while ago. Taylor Gabriel's also a little banged up right now, too. For the running backs, Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, they are both healthy. This defense is healthy. Should be a fun game.
Fun game. Looking forward to it. Matt Ryan, 2016 MVP. Close the Georgia Dome with a trip to the Super Bowl. How about that?
That's your prediction?
Yeah, then they close the Georgia Dome with a trip to the Super Bowl.
Scotty, are you sticking with the Atlanta Falcons?
I'm sticking with the Falcons, too. And what's going to be interesting, too, is, you know, this is a good offensive line. I don't know if Atlanta's going to be able to get pressure. You know, that's the one thing that's going to weigh in their favor.
What's the Falcons fan slogan?
We're the Dirty Birds?
No.
Okay.
Scotty?
I heard it recently.
We the North?
I forgot it.
No, it's not We the North, because they not the North.
No, I don't think so.
We the South?
It's not We the South.
I don't know what it is.
Tony?
I have no idea.
Rise up.
All right.
Rise up. Rise up. What about
the Pack? Is that original?
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go, yes. Go Pack, Rise Up versus Go Pack Go.
All right, Tony, your prediction here, buddy?
Yeah, I think the injuries are too much to overcome. I think Atlanta wins this game handily.
Handily?
Ooh, wow.
So you like Atlanta? Wow. What's the spread? Five minus five, you said?
Atlanta minus five.
Yeah. Yeah, unless all of a sudden, you know, we get Mother Teresa down there to bless Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams. I don't know how they could.
Or Donald Trump. Either one. He's our president.
He'd be kicking off soon, right? What time he gets sworn in?
Quick little announcement, and I'm not getting paid I'm going to let people know because it's free. If you guys want to play this weekend, there's a Survivor competition free at DraftKings, and it's multiple sports. So it's this weekend's NFL games, then you play an NBA round, then you play NHL, back to NBA, to a soccer, and then you close things out with a golf tournament, and it's absolutely free. First prize is $250. If you guys want to play multiple sports, gives you an opportunity to play. It doesn't cost you anything.
That's cool. I might look into that.
There you go. Totally free. Chance for $250. Pretty good. That's pretty fun. All right. Take a break here. Come back. We will talk New England-Pittsburgh AFC Championship game in which Roger Goodell will not make an appearance at. We'll be back right after this. New England, Pittsburgh, on the line, a shot at the Super Bowl, a shot of glory.
I think when the season started, I think if you would have asked 100 people, like Family Feud, mm-hmm. like Steve Harvey, if you would have asked the top 100 people, if you would have surveyed 100 people, asked them what was going to be the AFC Championship game, I think 60% of them would have told you the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the New England Patriots, and here we go. We have it now. New England comes into the game, about a touchdown favorite. And then you got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think New England, obviously, the favorite in this one. You've seen how great they've played this season. It's like the machine just picks up. It keeps rolling. I think, but we all agreed if there was one team in the AFC that could get the job done and go in there and possibly knock off the New England Patriots, I think we thought it could be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because of their balance on offense, they had the big time playmakers. Ben Roethlisberger, a guy that's been there before. With all that being said, though, I still think the New England Patriots don't let up, and I don't really see there's no way the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game. New England's a 6-point favorite. Where's the public money at, Greg?
The public money is on the New England Patriots.
Where's the public money at, Scotty?
Patriots.
Tone.
Yeah, New England.
54% of the money is on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So it's only 50-50.
Wow.
So it's 50-50 there. Very interesting.
I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought the public would have been on hammering New England, especially the road they're on right now.
I agree. You never bet against New England in New England in a playoff game.
14-3 versus the spread.
It was interesting. It's one of the first things I ever taught my girlfriend about football is that you never bet against Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, primetime, ever. So now she takes that. She goes, "Oh, what time is Brady playing?" I'm like, "Oh, they're at 6:30 or something." Yeah, they're gonna win. I'm like, I know.
There's some interesting numbers here. These teams met in week 7. New England won 27-16, but Ben Roethlisberger did not play in that game. Roethlisberger is 3-1 as a starting quarterback in the AFC Championship game. Le'Veon Bell has 337 rush yards in his past two playoff games. That is the third highest total over two game span in NFL history. For Antonio Brown, he's hot as well. You know, we saw that last week. He's one of two players in postseason history with 100-plus receiving yards in four consecutive games.
Right, yeah.
So, obviously you roll with him. But I think a big reason why Pittsburgh will be competing in this game is, the way they've played defense, especially in the playoffs. They really came off defensively second half of the season. They're 27 sacks in the final nine games, with the most in the NFL over the second half of the season. They went from over 24 points a game per allowed to 18.6, and they've been playing very physical defense. Now, we've often said that defense wins championships, but the four teams left in the playoffs now are not known as defensive teams, but Pittsburgh is playing very physical, defense, and that's why I think they have a chance here.
Ben Roethlisberger 3-1 in the AFC Championship games. Mm-hmm. Greg, trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the three victories?
3-1 probably the Ravens, I'll assume, is one.
The Broncos is one of them.
Either those two, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he beat Jake Plummer in 2005.
I feel like they beat the Colts.
Yeah, that's definitely right.
They beat the Colts on the way to beating the Broncos in 2005 in the divisional. There was that fumble that was going to get returned for a touchdown. Bettis tackled
Yeah, that was division round, right?
Yeah, and then they beat the Broncos and Plummer in the championship game. Yeah.
Okay, so then the next time they went to the Super Bowl, Ben went to the Super Bowl.
When they played Arizona.
Who they beat in the AFC game that year? AFC championship game that year?
I know he's never beaten Brady.
I know, I'm about to say, I'm quite sure that loss is Tom Brady.
He's only faced him once, but I think it was early in his career. So I don't think
it was. I don't feel like Baltimore and Pittsburgh played in the AFC championship. I feel like they played in the division round all the time.
I don't think they ever played in the AFC title game.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So it's
I like that you have no idea.
It's Denver.
I like that you ask a trivia question, but you don't know the answer.
I figure my friends, you know, great minds think alike. You know what I mean? Scotty was able to pull 05 up pretty quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can, so we can Google this, Greg. You the host.
Oh, it's not my job.
Meanwhile, while you guys are doing this, though, some interesting numbers on the Patriots side. And I wonder how much, you know, and what running backs are going to get a split of this. The last time these teams met in Week 7, LeGarrette Blount rushed for 127 yards and two touchdowns. And Julian Edelman had 8 catches for 137 last week. In his past 8 playoff games, Julian Edelman is averaging 8.4 catches per game for 93 yards. He is the franchise postseason leader with 76 catches. So those are some big guys to watch this week. Blount, maybe, least get in the end zone, and Edelman.
I'm worried about Blount is spending less time on the field.
Yeah, that's why.
Deion Lewis was involved big time.
Blount was sick last week, though.
Oh, he had something. Yeah. Oh,
he had an illness. Yeah.
He got to be caught a bad batch.
So I actually like LeGarrette Blount a lot in this game. I really think the Kansas City Chiefs made a huge mistake last week by abandoning the run. I don't expect the New England Patriots to do that. They hammered him with the run last time. I think that LeGarrette Blount gets the ball tackle to tackle until they stop him.
And now you've been literally saying that since Monday, Tone.
Yeah, I really think you'll see some Deion Lewis. He'll be in the playbook. I think the running backs are going to be big in this game for the New England Patriots, and that's how they're going to try to beat them. But it's amazing to me the lack of disrespect the Steelers have gotten in this game. They have the best wide receiver in football. They have the best running back in football. And they're going against a New England defense that isn't that great. I really think they have a chance to win this game. And from a fantasy perspective, the only problem I have is their prices are too high. And it scares the death out of me to put a roster in that doesn't have the word Le'Veon Bell in it. And I think when you look at it, even if the New England Patriots win this game, Le'Veon Bell is going to touch the ball 25 times between runs and passes. There's no way he doesn't touch the ball 25 times. And it's hard to put him out of your playbook. Now, I could do it with Julio Jones. Le'Veon Bell, I have a lineup that doesn't have him in it, and to me it makes no sense, and I'm a little concerned that I think if you're going to go Pittsburgh, you got to go all in, and you got to throw the quarterback in there because he's so cheap. He's only $5,800. You're going to have to put him in there with Le'Veon Bell.
I'm almost forcing you to play him.
By the way, I just got a text message about who Big Ben's other AFC Championship game is.
I know who they are now, too.
Got it, too. Yeah.
We were off.
J-E-T-S!
They beat the New York Jets!
Jets!
2010.
They beat the Jets.
Mark Sanchez!
They beat the Jets, the Ravens, and
the Broncos.
The Broncos. So they did play the Ravens in the AFC.
They lost to the Patriots in the 2004 Conference Championship.
Big Ben's first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
They beat the Statue of Limitations is up on that one.
But the New York Jets, you forget, they were winning that game, the Jets. And then than Big Ben. That was the end of it.
I think it was a couple of big plays in the second half.
No, I'm sorry. I think Pittsburgh was up a lot at halftime. They just came all the way back, and then
didn't Willie Park had like a crazy run or something like that.
There was a play on the right side where I remember just Rex taking off his headset.
Yo, what happened to Willie Parker?
Fast Willie?
Yeah, what happened to Fast Willie?
Hanging out with Willie Beeman.
He didn't pan out at all. It's not like that. That dude's
he had a few good years. He had a few good years.
He can't be no older than 32, 33 years old. Let's Willie Parker.
I think he is. Let's find out. Fast Willie Parker is Willie Everett Parker Jr. You know where he went to college?
North Carolina Tar Heels.
That's correct. He's currently 36 years old.
Oh, he's 36. He's that old.
Yeah, played five from 2004 to 2009, so six seasons with the Steelers. Signed by the Redskins in 2010. Never made, that was it. Never made the team. He was released on final cuts. Dang. Played in the UFL. And
with the Virginia Destroyers.
That's right. And then retired in 2012. He's a assistant coach. Oh, sorry. In 2015, became the running backs coach for Heritage High School in Wake Forest.
Okay, so he's back in the...
The head coach of that team is Dwayne Washington. And the assistant head coach of that team, wide receivers coach, is Torrey Holt.
That's a whole bunch of Tar Heels on that team. Really. Or Torrey Holt's a bookman.
His final season with the Steelers, he suffered a turf toe injury and gained weight to Rashad Mendenhall.
That's right. Rashad Mendenhall's writing for Ballers. That's what he's doing now, right? Along with having anti-American messages.
When he signed with the Redskins, he was behind Clinton Portis and Larry Johnson, was released before the season started.
So interesting. He actually retired at 24. I didn't realize he was only 24 years old when Sean Mendenhall retired.
Oh, yeah. He was a different breed.
He won two Super Bowls.
Yeah. He's a different breed, but you know what? He was kind of in the beginning of the trend, right, Tony? Like, all these guys just retiring early, saying, all right, football is great, but, like, I don't want to do this my whole life. I don't want to get hurt. I want to write. Now he writes for a TV show, so.
I'll tell you what. He was different. It's interesting. It's a violent sport, right? If you can make a little money, get out. What the hell? What the hell's wrong with that? It's something, you know, you don't want to hit. And then there are other players that just don't know anything else their whole life, and they want to play until the very little end, and some of them play past that. I give Mendenhall a lot of credit for doing what he did.
I agree. Yeah, it's interesting before Patrick Willis and that stuff.
You know, he just ended as a consultant, but they liked him so much that they made him a full-time writer.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when he retired, he said he wanted to write. Now he's writing.
Yeah.
I think it's very cool. Very, very cool. All right. I need a prediction, Scott Engel.
I am going to go New England 27, Pittsburgh 24.
Tony.
I am going to go New England 31, Pittsburgh 28.
I'm going to say New England wins this one 34-24. Corey needs to step out for a moment. So with that, we will step out too. We'll come back, talk a little bit more football, what's going on around the NFL. We'll start next hour, a little baseball talk. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We thought that Josh McDaniels would ultimately end up in San Francisco. He obviously talked about it earlier in the week. He pulled out. You're seeing more and more names pull out because Kyle Shanahan's thought to be the next head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Good hire, Scott?
I would think so because, what Chip Kelly did was, he tried to mold the talent into his system, and there is no talent there. I feel like Kyle Shanahan is going to come in. He's creative. He doesn't have a lot of talent there, but maybe look, Matt Ryan complained last year the scheme was too intense for him, and it's worst year ever, but he came back with his best year ever. I think Shanahan's somewhere in the middle of that. I think he's going to find creative ways to get that offense, into gear. And they haven't hired a general manager yet because they said they want the coach to have a vision, who the general manager should be. And I think that's kind of important, too, because you want the guys working together. So I think from a long-term perspective, it's probably one of the better hires. Anytime you go from coordinator to head coach, it's always a jump and a risk, and you never know for sure. But I think this is probably the best one that's out there.
Tony, we're seeing all these coordinators make decisions now, right? Like Rick Dennison is now the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. That's got to be exciting for a Buffalo Bill fan, right? To get Gary Kubiak's offensive coordinator.
Oh, this is the craziest. This is one of the worst moves I've ever seen.
I love how dramatic you get. Like, it's never just a bad move. Yeah. This is the worst I've ever seen in my life.
How do you hire a coach before a general manager? First of all,
You're saying Shanahan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shanahan's one of the worst moves I've ever seen. How do you hire a franchise that hasn't done anything right in 20 years? How do you hire a head coach before the general manager, and you want your head coach to have input on your general manager, who he's going to report to? How does that make sense?
Doesn't.
He better name his dad as the general manager, because that's the only thing that's going to work here.
I was
going to
say that.
You got to turn your mic on.
It is.
Now it's on. Now it's on. You weren't on.
Are you sure?
Yes.
This.
All right.
I want to hear you. I want people to hear you.
You didn't hear me just now?
No.
But I heard myself loud and clear.
I'll tell you, man.
All right.
Good enough.
So that's the first mistake.
Okay.
That's the first mistake. And then second, when you have a franchise this bad and this depleted of talent, you can't have a guy learning on the job. You had to hire a former head coach. And I'm not the type that likes all these guys being recycled, but you don't put a guy that's never done this in this type of situation. It's a train wreck, it's a disaster, and it's a huge mistake on every part. The first part, the organization did it wrong. They needed the general manager first, then the head coach, not a head coach inputting on a guy that's going to be his boss.
Well, this is why I like the original plan, right? That you were going to put, like, if New England, you're going to hire Caserio to be the GM and Josh McDaniels as the coach. Like, they work together, it makes sense, right? I like what the Rams did. They hired Sean McVay, who immediately hired Wade Phillips. So you have a young offensive coordinator, and you have a 70-year-old
defensive coordinator
that's been the head coach, that's been around the league forever, right?
Yeah.
Now, Kyle Shanahan getting hired before the GM, I don't love that. I agree with Tony that this is the team that you need. You need to have stability. You need to have continuity, and you need to have cohesion. And if the general manager is going to essentially report to Kyle Shanahan, it's not going to work. Just like this Trent Baalke thing didn't work when he just kept hiring pansy head coaches like Jim Tomsula instead of hiring a guy like Adam Gase. You know, it didn't work. I think that they should hire a general manager, and if he wanted to hire Kyle Shanahan, that would be great. I mean, think about this in Seattle, right? Like, they wanted Trent Kirshner to be the GM. Kirshner said, I'm bringing Tom Cable with me. That's my guy. That's the head coach that I want to bring.
Right.
And San Francisco said, nah, we're going to go with Kyle Shanahan. We want you, but we're going to go with Kyle Shanahan. And Kirshner, rightfully so, said that I'm going to stay here. I like hanging out with John Schneider. I like hanging out with Pete Carroll. I'll wait for another opportunity. No big deal.
Yeah, because probably another one's going to come down the pike.
Sure,
Cable has been a head coach in the past. You know, like to Tony's
does
point. There's somebody that's.
Does that count with Oakland?
I think so.
Technically,
it's so dysfunctional there. I don't know. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Technically,
there.
But that's probably a guy who's better off as an offensive line coach.
Let me tell you something. The other thing. Well, why do people say that when that offense? This is the funniest part on Tom Cable. I thought he was overmatched as the head coach in Oakland. And yet, he gets a lot of credit. What's the one weakness in Seattle? Their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just a nice guy people like. And it has nothing to do on his coaching merits.
Well, I would say, you know, it's been a bad job of, you know, the talent they've put in place there. I think, you know, if they give him the proper talent, they've asked him to, like, turn absolutely nothing into something. And it's like, I think it's hard for anybody to work with. When they did win the Super Bowl, they had like the 26th offensive line graded by Pro Football Focus, though. And you know, Cable did a pretty good job. Right now, with what they have there, I don't think anybody could do a good job. They've asked him to take three defensive linemen and turn them into pro offensive linemen. He was able to do it with J.R. Sweezy. Gary Gilliam has been so-so, but George Fant has not worked.
George Fant can get the quarterback hurt.
Yeah,
it's like Eric Flowers.
I saw. He was in the news recently. Your quarterback,
like my quarterback was.
Nah, Scott's quarterback.
Oh, Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with him?
I think it was something with him and Sierra. I know they got a baby on the way.
A baby on the way.
Yeah, maybe that's. Oh.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
His son was sent a Matt Ryan jersey. Well, not his son. His Russell Wilson's stepson. Right. Was sent home with a Matt Ryan jersey.
I don't understand.
Hmm?
Why would they do that? That's not very nice.
Well, his father is an Atlanta Falcon fan.
Oh, his father's an Atlanta Falcons fan. Oh, wasn't he at the game on the Atlanta sideline?
Yeah, he was at the game on the Atlanta sideline, and he sent his little boy in Matt Ryan jersey.
That's not right.
That's grimy.
Actually, Russell will probably take the high road on that because he's friends with Matt Ryan.
Russell actually did. I think Russell did take that. I saw something Russell posted on Instagram. Shout out to Russell Wilson.
That's not right.
What?
Sierra's baby daddy.
I don't have a problem with his kid
wear a Falcons jersey.
Yeah.
Causing trouble for the kid.
You think it's shade being thrown?
You don't.
I think the intention is there, but I don't think Russell would probably care about.
I don't care about Russell.
Ryan jersey.
I care about the kid. Like this kid. Like
I don't think you would care about him wearing the Ryan jersey.
His father gave it to him, so he pissed off his mom's husband.
I think he's probably like you know that's the baby's father.
If someone's
so
sleeping
do?
With your daughter. That's what you have to. That's what you have to do. If somebody's sleeping with your daughter. You go after him.
Or your ex-husband, whatever. I have no idea where you're going. We'll come back. We hacked the FSTA. Come on, next.